This is Jaden Schaefer from the AI Chat Podcast. Today, I'm doing a podcast episode with my good friend Ryan from the Chat GPT Report. We're excited to do an episode together today, talk about what we're seeing in AI, and tell you a little bit about each other's podcasts. I definitely recommend you go check out Ryan's podcast, which is the Chat GPT Report, for some incredible news. But taking this over to you, Ryan.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Excited to do this with you, Jane. And again, Jane's part of multiple podcasts, which I'm sure he'll tell you about, but his big one is the AI Chat, which is on Spotify as well as Apple Podcasts and wherever you find your podcast. But I'm really excited for both of us just to talk about AI and have some questions covered on each other, like, you know, what was your favorite episode and common misconceptions and stuff like that, that I think you, the audience, might really enjoy from two people that, you know, have been running podcasts since basically the beginning. So let's kick it off. You know, Jane, what is your favorite episode or topic that you've covered on your podcast, and why do you think it stands out to you?
To be honest, that's such a hard question because like so much has happened this year. But like just recently, some really interesting concepts I've been looking at are autonomous agents. And I think that those are going to be coming out later this year. That's really exciting. This week, I did like three episodes on some of the advancements in video and AI. I think that's really kind of going to be the next wave. So for me, those are like some of the really exciting areas. And then as far as like interviews go, I've done some interviews with some phenomenal guests. Having Jack McCauley, one of the co-founders of Oculus, was like really interesting to see, like, because he was kind of in the whole like virtual reality wave, right? And now coming into like the whole AI wave, asking him like similarities and what he, you know, predicts in the future for that. So that's been phenomenal. What about yourself? What are some of your favorite topics or podcasts you've done?
Yeah, well, let me give you a quick plug. Jane also has a ton of great interviews. There's a lot, like you said, the Oculus founder, as well as some other individuals that are just really in the space. And I've listened to a couple. They're really good. So he's got a lot of interviews. My podcast had about three or four. But we're working on getting more, but he's really got a finger on the pulse out there. I think for me, it's actually an older episode. I kind of echo you with the text to image stuff, which has been unreal, but I feel like I cover that on one of my podcasts. Like I talk about Midjourney and Adobe and DALL-E all the time. An episode that I really resonated with was episode 38, which was, it was about a trip notes, which AI basically made an itinerary for you for a vacation, right? And I'm all about kind of the everyday man AI. And to me, that type of stuff where you can get a full itinerary of a vacation and it actually worked was, to me, incredible. You know, you got your Chat GPTs and your Claude and stuff that can do that. But when you have a system that you point at a map and say, hey, make me a 3-day itinerary for the vacation in Miami, and it'll do it and tell you the time's opening. I mean, it was, to me, that was one of my favorite episodes to cover because I think the research on it too, like I was sitting in there just digging through and trying to figure out if I could break the thing, and I really couldn't. And you know, that episode was, boy, probably back in May. So the advancements in that have become, you know, so far from that. Kind of to resonate with you, I mean, have you been looking at, you know, you talk about the video stuff. Have you been looking at Runway a lot recently?
Yeah, Runway's super cool. I actually watched, like, I saw a Twitter thread that was really interesting. I think I retweeted it. So follow me on Twitter at Jaden_AI if you want to see it. But it was really cool. So Runway did like a Academy Awards kind of like video competition. I saw a Twitter thread where someone just got like had a compilation of a bunch of videos that were in that. I think it's impressive. Period, if we have generative AI creating video. But what I will say, there definitely are a lot of people that are like looking at, we'll see that Twitter thread or are looking at some of that technology and those videos coming out being like, oh man, it's like, it's not perfect. It's not there yet. Like, yep. And like, I like understand that. But like, what I will say to those people is like, this technology is on a crazy upward trajectory. It's going to get perfect. Eventually you'll watch it and it looks just like a video of an actual person. You won't be able to tell the difference. And so I'm excited for kind of the evolution. I think that's one of the big waves that we're seeing. And what's interesting for me in that whole video space is that I feel like video is like kind of a compilation of all the other generative AI tools combined. So there's like, of course, natural language processing, because you have to tell it exactly what you want. And so it uses that to do the natural language processing to determine it. But also, like the script, and like if a person's talking, then you're going to be using like generative audio for that. And then just for the, like, we know a video is just essentially like 1,000 frames of pictures. So it's like, It's using the, you know, Stable Diffusion models to generate like the images. So it's so cool to me that it's like, it's got the text, it's got the image, it's got the audio. And then on top of that, you have to do like music in the background if you want like a certain mood or whatever. So it could do generative music. And then like, if you say a beach, there's a crashing wave and a seagull flying, like it's got to do a seagull sound effect and a crashing wave sound effect. It's got to line those up with the video. It is so freaking complex. But that's what gets me really excited, is it's like every type of generative AI on steroids is used to create video. So that's why it's a little bit behind, but it's going to be crazy when this stuff rolls out, you know, and is more widely available.
Yeah. And you know, you make a great point. Like when it first came out, I remember doing a runway episode about it, and I was less than impressed, right? But that was only 5-6 months ago. And now it really is that incredible. And also too, I mean, look at DALL-E and Midjourney from last December. You know, everyone was talking about how it could make a good picture. It was too fuzzy. I mean, DALL-E, when it originally came out, was not that great. I mean, it was very instant that you could say that was AI that generated it. Now you look at some of the stuff people are creating, and you're like, how that doesn't even look, it's incredible. And so I don't know all the back end to it, but I do know that where are we going to be, you know, 5 months from now, from all this stuff that people are saying, oh, well, it didn't really look that great, we'll see, but you know, 5-6 months.
It's so crazy, the advancements happening there. Ryan, one thing I would love to ask you about, like, because I know you look at a lot of this AI and a lot of the development in AI stuff. Is there anything in AI that concerns you, like that worries you, that you're like, oof, like, don't like that, or like, that seems like it could potentially be problematic? Like, what do you have any like concerns around AI and what you're seeing?
Yeah, I think that's more kind of on the political side, is what I hear a lot of people saying is, who's controlling the data that's going in? I think that's what concerns me. Because I think if you let AI kind of do its thing and just show it the world, I think it would come to pretty good conclusions. But my concern is, who's got the finger, you know, on or hand on the throttle? That's what concerns me. I mean, not this stuff doesn't worry me actually as much as maybe a lot of it should, because I'm seeing a lot of people worry that it's going to take a ton of jobs, right? And I had an episode where it did take some jobs on like I can't remember the name of it now, but it was basically a coding group that everyone's using ChatGPT and Bard to figure out code and whatnot. And so this group is getting killed right now because no one's going into these forums to answer these questions. But I think what I'm seeing is people who aren't very good at certain things, it's turning them more into generalists. Right. And you don't have to be an expert anymore. For example, coding, I can now do basic coding. If my audience is listening, they know I'm the first one to tell you I'm not a great coder, but now I can do some pretty basic coding because of AI. So I don't necessarily think it's pushing people out of jobs quite yet. But I think there is a concern with that. I just don't know what jobs are going to be pushed out. I mean, as I always say on the pod, you know, AI is not going to take your job, but someone who is using AI will. And I truly believe that, because, you know, my job, I do LinkedIn posts and stuff, and it takes me 5 minutes. What used to take me 2 hours of proofreading now takes no time at all. And I can do other things as well. So maybe the concern is jobs losing, lost, but then also too, every technology has always replaced something. So I really don't know what a real concern was that, other than, like I said, the throttle. What about you? Do you have one to this one?
Well, I would say, like, I have to agree a little bit with you at the beginning. You know, you mentioned kind of the political aspect. And I think seeing some of the regulation coming out of China just last week, where essentially they said, like, if you want to train an AI model in China and they find that more than like 5% of the data in there goes against the Chinese Communist Party's like doctrine, or like their, you know, whatever, their beliefs, then your model gets banned. Or if you have anything in there that is, you know, they've been banning with their like firewall, like internet censorship program, if anything that, you know, wasn't, that they're banning is in your thing, then you get banned. So my concern is, like, essentially there'll be a bunch of countries, I mean, really China, so I'll just say it's China probably, but maybe China's gonna make
Saudi Arabia in there.
yeah there's a handful, right? But I think China's got like probably maybe the most money right now, but you're right, there's a handful of others. They're going to make these AI models that ideologically agree with them. It's not necessarily our beliefs here in the West. And my concern is that they're going to get embedded into they're going to get embedded into like technology tools and software that gets shipped to us. And so inevitably now we're going to have these like AI models, or we're going to have AI that maybe doesn't align with what we believe in ideologically as a country or not.
All right. So what are some misconceptions people have about AI that you've kind of found yourself debunking frequently on your show, if at all, really?
I think one of the biggest ones is a lot of people tend to think that AI is going to be dominated by Google, OpenAI, Amazon, maybe Apple someday. Like they pretty much just think like the top tech players are going to be the top tech dominating like platforms, and that, you know, ChatGPT is going to be the number one text, and Midjourney is going to be the number one image. I actually really see the future of AI being where there's thousands and thousands of different AI models that all are specializing in very specific things. I think AI is going to get a lot more commoditized than we see today. And so, I think that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions is like some Stanford researchers earlier this year essentially did a study where they built PubMed GPT, which was like all the publicly available medical journals. They stuck them all together, made a little GPT that could answer medical questions. And it's like, it's pretty good, but if you wanted this to be even better, you'd train a model specifically off of heart disease or breast cancer and have specialized models just for those things. So I think that's really where the whole industry eventually goes. And then, you know, depending on your use case, you'll go find like the perfect AI model that specifically addresses your need. And there'll probably be platforms that allow you to access all of it. That's what I'm trying to build with AI Box. But yeah, I think that's one of the big misconceptions. What about yourself?
Yeah, I think it's a great answer, really. I think the one of the misconceptions that I think is similar to what you had is thinking, except more on the end where, well, I'll go back a little bit. I think the thing that I hate the most is when people on Twitter, the second an update happens, or X now, the second an update happens from Midjourney or DALL-E, they're like, it's the death of the other guy. And I'm like, it's not. It's a cool update. They both do their things. You know, Midjourney's way better at artistic design. DALL-E actually follows instructions, is what I've seen, you know, and Adobe, it is right in the middle there. So each one of them has their thing that they're really, really good at. So I think there'll be more than just one. I think the big thing is you're seeing a lot of these little companies come up and they need the horsepower on the back end. And that's why they're teaming up with these big companies like Microsoft and Google. You know, you have to have a big company on the back end to be doing this. But I think one of the other misconceptions is thinking that it can do everything. You know, you still have to put some work in right now. It's not just do this for me. You know, you can ask it to make me a contract. You know, I did it for construction. Make me a construction contract between us and a general contractor. And it did a good job, but I had to insert a couple of things, and there were some nuanced things that I know about our business that needs to be added. So I think sometimes people go, oh, AI is going to take over everything. It's already doing everything. And it's like, well, it really isn't. There is some effort to be put in still. You got to make sure the prompts are good for text to image. You know, you can't just say, make me a mountain, right? You got to say like, hey, I want a snow-capped mountains, Colorado-esque looking, and then, you know, I want it in water pastel, a look. So I think that's something I see a lot of people saying that, oh, you know, it's going to take, back to what I said earlier too, with taking jobs. It's not, there's still some effort to be required into it. Now in 5-10 years, you know, will people look back on this pod and go, wow, Ryan had a really bad take? Maybe, but it's 5-10 years from now, right?
Yeah. No one's going to remember this in 5 years. But I'll bring it up. I'll find the clip and we'll be doing a joint podcast and I'll bring it up. No, I'm just kidding. I think you're pretty spot on with that. And I don't know, something you were saying just reminded me of something. So I'm just going to bring it up. And that is, you're talking a little bit about the different AI generated things. I saw the coolest thing on LinkedIn that I just shared today. And that was that, and this, I guess, kind of goes into the whole image generating like sphere. It's the Photoshop one. Not one that I've used. Yeah. Not one that I've used a ton is the photo generating one. But essentially there was a girl and it was a video of her walking down like a field, or just a big blank field in front of a school. And they used the Photoshop one, highlighted the whole area in front of her, and then just said like, create a castle here. Boom, in that spot it creates a castle. And then it was like, create leaves on the ground in this area, and boom, it did that. And it like created mountains, and the whole thing is incredible. What's interesting to me is that they used the image aspect for a bunch of pieces, but it was still a video of her walking down the hill. So like if you layer that on Adobe Premiere, pretty much, it still looks like a video of her walking down a hill, and everything else just kind of looks like in the background. It's so crazy. These technologies, I think, like you mentioned, really are so different. Every update is not going to kill all the other companies doing something different. Like that use case I just explained on Photoshop is completely different than what I'm going to use DALL-E or Midjourney for. So I think they all have their different strengths and weaknesses. And the more tools that come into this platform, the more exciting it's going to be, and the more competition and uniqueness. And we're going to be using so many different tools for so many different things. Okay, Ryan,
yeah.
I have to ask you, because you kind of course, you know, we made a joke about your predictions in 5 years or whatever. I would love to ask you, though, are there any predictions that you would make about where AI goes in the next 5 years? You kind of see the industry going in a particular direction just based off of everything you've seen this year so far covered on your podcast?
Yeah, I hate to give a forecast sometimes because I'm as clueless too. I'm like, what is going to happen? I think what I think about, and I think in historical terms, though, is just like how quickly you get news from Twitter, how that kind of, you know, no one reads the newspaper. I mean, the newspaper is yesterday's news. Everybody is yesterday's news, but it's, you know, Twitter, the news is immediate. Mm-hmm. You know, just like the iPhone industry changed how we're doing business, you know, the BlackBerry, all that stuff. I think in 5 years, it's going to be something that's more like, I can't believe we were even doing this. Like, it'll be, how did that even happen? So if I had an idea where we'd go in 5 years of what it would be like, I'd be a billionaire. So that's not the case right now. But
Don't forget me when you are.
Yeah. What I do see happening, though, is it being more into everyday life. There's a lot of people out there that don't even have not even touched ChatGPT, which has been out for almost a year now. And so a lot of people have no idea about it coming down the line. I think the biggest thing, and I've said this on the podcast before, is Copilot. And the reason I say that is because it's ingrained in Word and Excel, and everyone in business uses it, basically, unless you're using Sheets in Google, which means you're already kind of using the AI in there because they've already got some stuff out there.
Same thing, so, yeah.
Yeah, I think the technology that will change something is something that will integrate into everyday life, because as you and I know, you go to Midjourney, you got to open up a new tab. You go to Adobe, you got to open up a new tab. You go to any one of these, Trip Notes, you have to open up a whole new tab to use it. What technology is going to be just right there, right in front of you on your phone that you're using every day? And I think that's what excites me about the Google phone, how the AI is already built into the camera, the picture taking with the generative fill, the changing the faces, that type of stuff is what will get people more into AI, as well as just going, I had no idea I was even using it. But that's what I'm seeing, is what can integrate into everyday life. But other than that, I really don't know what's going to happen in 5 years. I wish I knew. I know it's a decade of AI. I really do think that, but I don't have a great answer for that. Do you have a better answer than me? I hope you do.
I don't know if I have a better answer. I will just give you one thing I am excited for within the future of AI. And I know, like, this whole week I've been on a real, like, generative AI video kick. So, like, you know, I'm sure if people are sick of it, you can plug your ears. But this is what I think is going to be cool that will eventually happen. I was talking to Jack McCulley, the co-founder of Oculus, about this. And that is that generative AI video will get so good that eventually you're going to be able to, like, direct your own movies with it. You're going to be able to pick who the actors are, and maybe, like, it's on a platform like, you know, Netflix still, and so those actors are still going to get a royalty. You get to pick, like, the type of movie, the script, you get to pick the setting, you get to pick, like, all sorts of cool stuff. And it's like, instead of sitting there, and maybe this is not as big of a problem for most people, but for me, I swear, my wife and I, when we're trying to pick a movie to watch, I can spend time like just as much time looking for a movie as almost watching one. We'll watch like 10 trailers before we actually get the right one. And I'm pretty sure my wife has like a very specific set of criteria that she looks for when she wants to see a movie. So I'm pretty sure she could say chick flick, these 10 actors in it, this is the storyline, and she'd be like just thrilled to watch it. But no, I think it's gonna be really cool. It's gonna really make it so that the user all of a sudden becomes like the creator in a lot of ways. Anyways, it's going to be fascinating. I know it's a small thing, but I am excited for that aspect.
Yeah, and I want to touch up with that as well too. I mean, that I think that's a great point you make, because think about all the people that have truly great ideas, and now they could potentially do it on their own and make a quick, you know, short 10-minute, but kind of like how YouTube is right now, where you see these. I watch a lot of I love history, and I love military history particularly. And there's a lot of these great YouTubers that make these fantastic videos about certain battles, right? I never even heard about some of these things. Think about that, but like in the movie sense, where it's, hey, I've got a great 10-minute, 15-minute idea for a movie, and it's not going to take me as long because of everything coming out that can assist me in making this movie. I mean, I saw a guy on Twitter just the other day. I reposted it. It was he did like a Star Wars theme, and it was just the images kind of zooming in and out, but it was just a minute and a half, and it was so captivating. And I was thinking, man, I hope that someone comes up with a quick little series on that, because that would be phenomenal. So to me, that excites me, because you can get some of these little guys making really cool shows that, hey, this thing's got millions of views. This thing's really good. Kind of how I view, you know, TV shows. Now we're in the golden age of TV shows because they're making them all the time, right? And yeah. So what's going to happen from there? And like you said, with the hand selection of being like, hey, I want these actors and this, like that is a very, very good point. I hadn't even heard of that yet. So that is very exciting to me as well, just hearing you talk about it now. So that's the billion-dollar idea right there, okay?
Yeah, so fascinating. There's so many exciting things coming down the pipe. Listen, Ryan, it has been phenomenal chatting with you and on your podcast today about everything, you know, happening in AI. For any of my listeners that I'm going to share this on my podcast with, what is a good way for them to find your podcast? What's a good way for them to find your social? Like, tell them how they can find you to get more of your insights.
Yeah, so I'm the ChatGPT Report, typically one word on most of the things. I'm on Twitter as well as LinkedIn, and it is a purple logo of GPT, so it's pretty easy to find, and that's the ChatGPT Report. And we have a website too, because I used to have a co-host. And so you can find me there. You can find me on Spotify as well as Apple. What about you, Jane? Tell my listeners what's going on with you.
Yep. Come find me at AI Chat. It's, you know, on every streaming service, covering AI news on daily, pretty much. I'm probably not as good at social media as Ryan, but I post a lot on the podcast. If you're interested in AI news and what's happening there, would love to have you join me for the journey. To all my listeners and to Ryan's listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to our podcast today. This is an awesome collaboration. We hope to be able to do this more often. I'd love to keep up with you once a month or so, Ryan, and see, you know, get your perspectives and see what you're seeing. This has been fantastic. For my listeners, thanks for tuning in, and make sure to rate both of us wherever you get your podcasts, and have a fantastic rest of your day.